Have you ever prayed about something? I mean, really, really, really prayed about something that was good, that was a right and noble prayer, that was God-honoring, and you have gone to the Lord, and you have beseeched the Lord, and you have sought His face, and you get a no answer, or you don't hear. Well, I think that's happened to all of us. And I have to say, there's nothing that is more frustrating for me than when you go to the Lord on something that is good and right. And I have done it probably hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times, either by a hospital bed or for issues that are going on in my own family. And the answer comes back either no or wait. And I have talked to hundreds of people in my life about Jesus. Some of them aren't believers and some of them are. And when it comes to the issue of prayer, it goes to one or two extremes for people. Some will say, you know what? And these are people that are agnostic or atheists. They'll say, you know what? When I was younger, I had a sick relative or mom or dad or sibling, or I was praying about something and God didn't answer, so there's no God. And then you come into the church context where people pray and they seek the Lord and they are coming to Him and they get no answer. Or for them, it's not the answer that they want. And I have seen what happens, that there becomes almost like a prayerlessness that happens. It's almost like people give up on prayer. They don't persist in prayer. They're not passionate about prayer. Sometimes our theology gets in the way. We believe that God is absolutely sovereign. He controls everything. And the danger of that is if you take it too far, you could say, well, why pray? Because God's going to do what He's going to do. So there's really no need to come before the throne of grace. And if I'm going to be honest, there have been seasons in my own life where I've gone there. It seems like there have been times in my life where I've gone to the Lord and gone to the Lord, and it seems like there was a lot of no-type answers. Now, I know that there was more going on. So this morning, we're going to talk about this whole issue of unanswered prayer. I don't know if I've ever seen one whole sermon that is dedicated to the topic, but we're going to do that, and Here's what I want us to be as a people. I want us, as the people who come to Crosspoint, I want us to be people who really do pray and who understand that we serve a God who is absolutely awesome and He is sovereign and He is good and He is just and He is holy and He is perfect in all of His ways. He is all-knowing. He is all-wise. He is all-powerful, and I want us to call on the name of the Lord with passion. In Luke chapter 18 and verse 1, and if we could just move to that slide, Jesus said, and He told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. We ought always to pray and not lose heart. There are some that have lost heart. There are some that say, you know what? I don't get answered prayer. And so they lose heart. But as J.I. Packard has said, there is no such thing as unanswered prayer. There's no such thing as that. And so we're going to try to grapple with that because some of you have lost heart. We want to be the kind of people that, as Pastor Jason talked about in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18 last week, that we're to be praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayers and supplication to this end. Keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. That's what we want to do. That's what we, the kind of people that we want to be. And I need to say right up front, I don't have all the answers. And if you say to me, well, why was this prayer? I don't know. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't know all the answers. But we do want to look at what the scripture says, and we want to dive into this, and we want to see Jesus as the King who is good, and he works, and he does answer prayer. And so we're going to dig into this. I want to start by looking at four reasons our prayers are hindered. And these things are what the scripture says. So this is in your notes. There are things that the scripture is clear on that we might not like, but the Bible is very clear. Number one, what hinders our prayer? Unconfessed sin. In Psalm 66, verse 18, it says, if I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. Before we conclude that God simply has not heard our prayer or he doesn't answer, there is a chance where we need to examine our lives. And here's the hard part. Do we sin every day? Yes. Every day you and I sin over and over and over again. In sins of omission and commission, things that we know that we're doing and don't know we're sinning all the time. But there are times when we know there's an area of our life that we have just rationalized to say, listen, I know what God says. I don't care. God understands. I got a side deal with God, and I'm going to do what I'm going to do. And this is not a struggle, because we all struggle with sin. This is the one that says, whatever. I'm just going to do what I want to do. And again, Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, whatever you ask, it will be done for you. And sometimes we make God out to be, if you would, the divine 911 call where, the house is on fire. Call 911, Lord, help. Or he's the genie where we say, Lord, come and answer my prayer. Even though I have been living a self-absorbed, self-centered, compromising life with a rotten attitude, and it's all about me, but then I come to a prayer request and I'm calling out to God. And so the scripture says, he gives a warning that we need to deal with that. We need to be every day going before the Lord and cleaning the slate and washing the car, so to speak, that we can see clearly. There's another reason why our prayers are hindered, and that is because we have selfish desires and motives. James chapter 4 in verse 3, it says, you ask and do not receive. Why? Because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. And this is another hard one for me. Because not only am I selfish, you're selfish. And we ask things that are wrong. We ask with the wrong motives, the wrong desires. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, it says in Jeremiah 17:9. Who can understand it? So we can't trust our feelings. I have had people in my office say to me, even though they have no biblical reason to do this, they say, I'm ending my marriage because I feel God wants me to be happy. And I just, no offense. God doesn't want you to be happy. He wants you to be holy. And when you're holy, when you're living for him, there will be the joy of the Lord that will be your strength. But we live in such a feeling-driven culture that we ask things sometimes that are selfish and that hinders our prayer. We are to ask things, it says in 1 John 5:14, and this is the confidence that we have towards him, that we have. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And there are some times where it's clearly not. There's a third thing that hinders our prayer, and that is marital discord. 1 Peter 3:7, it says, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be, and the word is, hindered. The husband who is to be the spiritual leader in the home is to cultivate a relationship, a companionship, a fellowship with his wife. And Christians, whether his wife's a Christian or not. Can I just tell you, marriage is hard. Young people, marriage is hard. And there is a natural tendency to draw apart. I don't care who you are, it is a natural tendency. And so God has called particularly the men to be the spiritual leaders in their home to work on this. Every conversation I have with marriages that are struggling, I draw this little picture right here. Here's what happens. You stay away from Jesus, you're going to be far apart from your spouse. It happens all the time. But there is something that is amazing that happens, that if you will draw near to the Lord, you draw near to each other. It is that simple. Not saying it's easy. It takes humility. It takes hard work. It takes the Lord's help. But the goal for us is that we would walk in oneness, and that our prayer life wouldn't be hindered because of there's marital discord in our marriages. And there's one more reason why our prayers are hindered. And it's faithlessness or doubting. In James chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. And in verse 8, it goes on to say, he's a double-minded man and unstable in all his ways. And that translation, that understanding, is having a mind that is divided between God and the world. And so we need to come in faith, believing that God is who he is and that he's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we can ask or imagine, and really believe that and not doubt, and even be like the apostles who cried out, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. I've even found this one to be a struggle, because it's like I don't get an answer prayer, and I read that verse, it's like, do I lack faith? Am I missing something here? Did I drop the ball? And so sometimes we do have faith and we're not doubting. And sometimes our relationships, our marriage relationships are good. And sometimes our motives are really right. We've gone to the scriptures. We think this is a good thing. And sometimes, to the best of our ability, we've confessed our sin. There's no hidden sin. And we still get a no answer. Has that ever happened to you before? Well, it's happened to me gazillions of times. God just says, no, or not now. And from my perspective, again, we're going to talk about that. It's my perspective. We are asking God for things that we believe are according to his will. Things like the salvation of loved ones, that's a good thing. The saving of marriages, that's a good thing. The relief of abuse, the end of evil in the world, like abortion and different things. I have been by the hospital bed of many people, and we've prayed for God to heal them. And in some cases, that healing has come through their death. But it's not what we were kind of asking for. So how do we deal with this? How do we understand this? How do we handle this? Because it could be right now, you're here and you're like, you would never say it, but functionally you have checked out on prayer. Because God's going to do what he's going to do. It doesn't work. And I'm here to say it does work. He is working, even in our no's. So we're going to look at things that are true about God in prayer. So open your Bibles, if you would, please, to Matthew chapter 7. This section that we're going to read is at the conclusion of the main theme of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is gives the standards for those living in the kingdom early in this sermon. He had given the model of the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. And now he assured them that God would welcome their prayers, and he urges them, and the present tense verb is keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. So we're going to read this passage. I'm going to start in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7. It says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which of you, if his son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? What a great passage. We serve a God who is a good God, who gives good gifts to those who ask him. And that's our first point. Point number one, you got to understand, God gives good things to his children. He loves you. He died for you. He has taken your sin and has removed it as far as the east is from the west. This week, you and I sinned, again, dozens and dozens and dozens of times, and he has not wiped you off the face of the earth. He is gracious and compassionate with us. He is not punishing you for the sins of the past. I talk to so many people who say, oh, I got a flat tire. God's punishing me for what I did 50 years ago. No, that punishment was taken by Christ on the cross. And yeah, there's times where there's consequences that are lifelong. But he is real clear that he is a God who gives good gifts to his children. And he says in verse 11, if you then are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? Now here's where the rub comes. Your definition and my definition of a good thing is often different than even our children's. Would we agree with that? Especially when we're young. You just think about this. I mean, how many times did your kids come and they say, you know, I want something, and it's not a good thing. My foster grandbabies, they want the worst things in the world. They want to play in the knife drawer. No, you can't play in the knife drawer. I'm a bad grandpa. I get it. No, I won't let you play in the street. But I want to. And so, God loves his children, and he does give good gifts to those who ask him. Let's look at another thing. And this one's going to be quick here. God hears our prayers and sometimes does wait to remove until we remove the hindrances from our lives. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. It says in Psalm 84:11, for the Lord your God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. And there's times where we're not. I'm not going to go over those again. But again, we need to deal with the unconfessed sins, the selfish motive, the times when Christ isn't the center, when our marriage is off, and we're not walking in faith. But there are times God's hearing you. He is working. Which leads me to point three. And this is one I want to spend a lot of time on. God sometimes says no or wait. You could write in there, oh, or wait, to benefit us in the long run. I've been thinking about this one for a long time. And I need you to track with me. If you're here today, and at one time or another in your life, you prayed, Lord, I'm yours. I want you to use me. I give you my life. I want you to make me into the woman that you want me to be, or the man of God that you want me to be. Lord, I pray that you would have your way in my life. If you're here today, and you prayed something like that as a Christian, raise your hand. Okay. And if for those of you that maybe have never prayed that and you're not a Christian yet, well, I pray that you would. But I want you to know, for those of you that raise your hand and I've raised my hand, I believe that is one prayer that God has heard, and he is answering that prayer. And you know how he does it? Sometimes through trouble. And sometimes through what we perceive is unanswered prayer. I remember praying that prayer when I came to know Jesus in 1981 and saying, Lord, I want to be used of you. I want to be a man of God. I give you everything. And through the course of time, there are things that I have besought the Lord for, and I didn't get them. But it was through those difficulties that God has built into my life. And I don't think I'm alone in that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 7, here's what the Apostle Paul prayed. He says, so to keep me from being conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. So here's the Apostle Paul, and he has this thorn. And people try to figure out what the thorn is, and the Bible doesn't say. Some have said it's a high eye problem. Some said it was malaria. Some say it was this or that. We don't know. But it was something that was harassing him. And put yourself in Paul's shoes. If you're Paul, and he wrote most of the New Testament through the Holy Spirit, and you could just see Paul saying, if I was Paul, I'd say, you know what? I could serve you a lot better if I didn't have this thorn. I could be more effective for you if I did not have this thorn. Matter of fact, in Acts 19:11, here's what it says. I'm just going to read it for you. It says, and God was doing extraordinary miracles by the hand of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched his skin were carried away to the sick, and the disease left them, and the evil spirits came out of them. Now think about that for a second. I don't have an apron, but I have a Kleenex, clean one. And it would touch Paul, and they would take it, and they would go to someone who's sick. Right now, Kristen Bickford, in the hospital, has an MS flare-up. Probably going to be there for 5 days. Wouldn't it be great? Shane, take this over to her, put it on her. That's what was happening. And so here's Paul. It's like, okay, all these amazing things are happening, and now I have this thorn. Can you help me here? And it says, goes on to say, 3 times I pleaded with the Lord that it should leave me. Verse 9, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Then he goes on to say in verse 10, for the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weakness and insults and hardships and persecutions and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul's answer to have that thorn removed was, it wasn't no, it was like, I got a better thing for you. I'm going to make you strong because you're going to have to rely on me. And that prayer that no doubt he prayed, Lord, use me, you've saved me, he answered through difficulty. Now, I don't get it all. Nobody, but I do know this much. Nobody grows when everything's perfect. Nobody grows a lot when you're sitting there on the beach with your Arnold Palmer, whatever your drink is, and you're just kicking back, and everything's smooth, and everything's calm, and everybody's healthy, and there's no troubles. If I went and interviewed every one of you, the hardest times in your life were the times that God grew you the most. And sometimes you prayed about things, and you didn't get the answer you wanted. He answered, but you didn't get the one that you wanted, and it was through that God long-term was benefiting you. That's a hard one. But I've thought about this for a long time. It's like, I see so many Christians that get discouraged with prayer. And they're like, eh. And I'm not saying you don't pray. Everybody here prays. I was going to bring out a prop. I used it one time. It was a bottle. It was like a thing you step on. I think, little rocket that goes up. We all do those. We do the bottle rocket prayers. But I want us to be a people who are passionate in prayer, knowing that he is working. And I understand this is very, very, very hard. But God does give good gifts to his children. He really does. John Calvin had said this, God grants our prayers even if he does not respond to the exact form of the request. Interesting. Fourth thing. God's idea of a good thing might be different than ours. In Ephesians 1:11, in him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. And all things mean all things. And so if you look back at your life, as I've looked back at mine, and there have been many times I have prayed for something. Like when I first became a Christian, there was a job I wanted to get. I just got done with electronics school. It was a place called Mohawk Data Science. I thought it was a great company. I read all about it. Went to 3 interviews. They loved me there. And I get a phone call. Sorry, you haven't been chosen. Devastated. As a new believer, my faith was crushed. I'm a young single man, 19, coming out of a sinful past. I meet a girl who is like, she's a Christian. There were no Christian girls back in 1981 in Michigan. None. I looked. I heard there was one in Michigan State. I sent her a dozen roses, freaked her out. I met this girl. She was great. Good looking. I was like, great. And you know what happened? We went out a few times. She dumped me. And I'm like, God, what are you doing? And there are dozens of those stories that you and I have. And some of you right now, you're in the middle of that. You just lost your job. You just got a diagnosis that's not good. And you're saying, God, what are you doing? Well, he's doing something. He's doing something because he gives good gifts to his children. And our perspective of good is different than his. Which leads me to my last point. God's will and his ways must be trusted even through our tears. And this one is the hardest one. There are times where it seems like evil wins and injustice abounds. And we must humbly confess before the Lord, I trust you. Isaiah 55, verse 8 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than yours. We serve an awesome God, we really do, who is holy and perfect and just and all-knowing and all-wise. He knows the end from the beginning. He's numbered your days. He knows what you're thinking right now. He is good and just and right. And he works in ways that we do not comprehend. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He is working in ways, and he does hear and answer prayers. And you might now, right now, might be in a season like I have been in the past where it's like, no, wait, no, you got to wait, no, wait. But I'm telling you, he is working. He's not sitting there looking at you and going, I'm answering everyone else but you. You were so bad in the past, and even right now, you're a little messed up. Nope. And yes, we repent, we walk before him, but then we trust him. And that's not easy, but we do that. I know some of the ladies have studied are starting a study in the book of Job, my favorite book in the Old Testament. Job is a man who God's bragging about. He says to Satan, have you considered my man Job? There's none like him. Fears God, shuns evil. God's bragging about Job. You would think Job's life should be perfect. I mean, God's not bragging about any of us. But he's bragging about Job. Job's such a righteous man. In case his kids sinned, he would go and he would plead the Lord for them. And then what happens? From Job's perspective, out of the blue, his whole world gets tipped upside down. He loses everything. Worst of all, his 10 kids, which is probably the worst thing that could happen to a parent. 10 of them. One of them's a tragedy. 10 of them. Unbelievable. And then he has friends show up who are great for the first week. And then they're like, well, such bad things. You must be a sin. What is it? Because God's punishing you. Something's going on. And it goes on. Chapter after chapter, he's defending himself. He's defending himself. And what was going on there? All we know is we get to Job chapter 42 and verse 5. And here's what Job proclaims. He says, I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. Think about this. God bragged about him in chapter 1 that he was a man who feared God and shunned evil. He went through all that junk, is what we would call it. And he gets to the end and he says, look back at my life. I had heard of you by the hearing of my ear, but now my eyes see you. Now he got it. God was working in his life. So I say to us, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? What am I going to do? We need to do what the scripture says. He told them a parable to the effect that we ought always to pray and not lose heart. Don't lose heart. God is working. It might even be through some of your failures, but don't hang on to him. Trust him where you're at. Rejoice always, it says in 1 Thessalonians 5. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Your story's not over yet. You're here today. God's not done with you. And you don't know what tomorrow holds. And yes, you may have that thorn in the flesh to the day you die. But let God use you and refine you and make you and mold you. And he will. He will, and before you know it, we're going to be with King Jesus, and it is going to be all good. But I beg of you, don't give up. Don't give up on God. Don't give up on prayer. Don't feel like God is against you because it seems like you get the no answer. He is working in a way that we will look back and we will be like Job. I have heard of you in the hearing of my ear, but now I know you. Which very interestingly will go back to that early prayer request that a new believer normally prays. And let him work. I don't know, like I said, I don't know all the answers. If you come to me and say, well, then why did this happen then? Just like Job got no answers. And sometimes we won't know until eternity, but I will just say this. We serve a God that is great and is working and wants to use the things that you're going through right now to minister not only to your family, not only to the people you know, and there's people who you're going to run into tomorrow that you're going to be God's instrument. It's so easy to get caught up in this world to think that this is the big show. Our life's a vapor. Vapor. So let him work. I want to pray for you. No, pray for me and this one too. Because you know what? Right now, there are things that we're praying about in our family. And we're going to keep praying. Just going to keep praying. As of now, he hasn't answered yes. We're going to keep praying. So let's just pray. Father, you are an awesome and good, righteous God. And I could go on and on declaring your attributes, and they are all true. Lord, we believe. Help our unbelief. Help us to trust you. I pray for the person out there right now that just feels like the bottom has fallen out of their life and they feel abandoned, but they're not. Lord, help them to know that you are working and are working and you will see them safely home. Your word says that you work all things together for good for those that love you who are called according to your purpose. And we do claim that. We do thank you for that, that you're going to work these things. Lord, we confess that many of us are in situations that we don't like and are uncomfortable. Forgive us for our complaining and whining, and help us to persevere in prayer. Lord, you know every heart and every heartbreak, and you are the God of the brokenhearted. And so, Lord, do your work in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Stand and sing this closing song. This is a declaration of our faith in Christ.
Our Father everlasting, the all-creating one, God Almighty, through your Holy Spirit, conceiving Christ the Son, Jesus our Savior. I believe in God our Father, I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. Our judge and our defender suffered and crucified. Forgiveness is in you. descended into darkness, you rose in glorious light, forever seated high. I believe in God our Father, I believe in Christ the Son, I believe in the Holy Spirit, our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again, for I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe in you. I believe you rose again. I believe that Jesus I believe in God our Father, I believe in Christ the Son, I believe in the Holy Spirit, our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again, for I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe in God our Father, I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. For I believe in the name of Jesus. For I believe in the name of Jesus.
Let me encourage you to talk to someone about what we've been talking about today. And maybe just pray with that person again. Just to get back to praying and knowing that God is working in ways that we don't know, but he is working. The scripture says, to the King of ages, immortal, invisible, the only God be honor and glory forever and ever. And all God's people said, amen.
I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit.